Patrick Kelly, Kansas Wrestling Coaches Association President and Head Coach at Seaman High School. Welcome to this KWCA podcast featuring Kevin Jackson. From John Smith to Dan Gable to Rob Cole, Mark Branch, Bill Zadig, Mike Denny, and Steve Costanzo, the KWCA Fall Clinic has drawn some of the top names in our sport over the years for its clinic headliner. This year's top billing is no exception. KWCA has booked Iowa State University's head coach, Kevin Jackson, for the 2016 clinic. Jackson hails from Lansing, Michigan, where he was a two-time state champion and junior national Greco-Roman champion. He signed a letter of intent with Larry Shakatano and Louisiana State University, where he made an immediate impact. He finished with a third-place showing at the 1983 NCAA Championships in Oklahoma City as a freshman, finishing tournament with a 6-1 record. His only loss was a 9-7 setback to Jim Zaleski of Iowa, current Oregon State head coach. He went on to match his seed again and again, finishing third place at the 84 NCAAs, held in the Meadowlands in East Rutherford, New Jersey, with a 6-1 record again. Zaleski captured his third NCAA title and was voted Outstanding Wrestler. Jackson followed that up with his third All-American honor in Oklahoma City in 1985 when he finished in seventh place. Not the finish he was looking for as he came in as a number one seed, but that bracket was as mixed up as any that I've seen, with three unseeded wrestlers finishing as All-Americans and the number one and number two seeds finishing fifth and seventh. On the Kansas front, Topeka Hyla Park graduate Melvin Douglas, representing the University of Oklahoma, came in as a number one seed at 177 pounds and left as the NCAA champion for his first of two titles at the 1985 tourney. The LSU Tigers dropped wrestling after Jackson's junior year, and he made the move to Ames, Iowa to compete for Jim Gibbons and the Iowa State Cyclones. The move paid off for both parties as Jackson made the NCAA Finals for his fourth All-American finish at the 1987 NCAA Championships at the University of Maryland, and the Cyclones dethroned cross-state rival Iowa for the team championship, ending a decade of dominance by the Hawkeyes, who were going for their record 10th NCAA championship. Of special note to us Kansans was a participant in the 126-pound bracket at the 87 tournament. Matt Treister, out of Beloit, representing the Naval Academy, came into the tournament unseeded and beat the number 5, 12, and 4th seeded wrestlers to make the semifinals, where he lost to the number 1 seed and returning national champion. He ended up finishing 5th in the tournament. Few reached the type of success Jackson garnered in high school and college, but what he did after college made him a legend in the sport. 4 years after his final season in college, he captured a world championship in Bulgaria in 1991 and followed that up with a gold in the 1992 Barcelona Olympics. He won another world championship in 1995 when Atlanta hosted. Prior to becoming the 7th head coach in the history of Iowa State University, Jackson spent his career working in a variety of freestyle coaching roles, including head freestyle coach at the U.S. Olympic Training Center in Colorado Springs. He's been the head man at Iowa State since 2009, where his teams have finished in the top 20 at the NCAAs in 6 out of 7 seasons, including a third place finish in 2010. He has also produced 4 NCAA champions while at Iowa State. Jackson begins his 8th season as head coach for the Cyclones this year and has reason to be excited about the outlook for 2016-17 and beyond. ISU returns 3 All-Americans in Earl Hall, Leland Witherspoon, and Pat Downey from a team that finished in the top 15 at the 2016 NCAAs. This year's recruiting class is arguably the best in the country. The class includes 6 individuals who reached All-American status at Fargo this summer. That group includes Fargo champs Sam Shields Colbray out of Oregon, Gannon Grimmel from Iowa, and Ian Parker from Michigan. It also includes runner-up Kanan Storr from Michigan and 5th place finisher Danny Vega out of Arizona. The recruiting floodgates have kept flowing with Jackson's 2017 verbals. Making their ISU intentions known are Fargo champs Austin Gomez out of Illinois, Anthony Montanano out of California, runner-up Jake Aller from Minnesota, cadet world champion Jacob Verclaren out of Pennsylvania, along with highly touted Marcus Coleman from Iowa. Nick Nolte, former Bishop Carroll two-time state champion, is currently the only Kansan on the Cyclone wrestling roster, but the state has a strong connection with the Central Iowa school. Boaz Baird, four-time state champion out of Goddard, is a recent grad, and Scott Coleman from Manhattan, Zach Roberson, Blue Valley Northwest, and Eric Aiken, Bishop Miege, all had stellar careers in Ames. Coleman was a two-time All-American, Roberson a national champion and three-time All-American, Aiken was a four-time All-American. I recently had a chance to catch up with Coach Jackson in anticipation of his appearance in Salina at the 2016 KWCA Fall Clinic. Coach Jackson, welcome to the program. We are excited to have you on the agenda for the Fall Clinic. What have you been up to in preparation for the upcoming season?
Well, Pat, it's going to be a joy to come down and spend some time with you and all the coaches from the area. You know, obviously for us, as you know, everything just keeps moving as far as, you know, the recruiting, as far as training your athletes, making sure that the athletes are getting everything that they need as they come on campus for the fall. And also I've had the opportunity to work with the cadet world team that will be heading over to Tbilisi, Georgia, September 12th through the 19th. And I'm extremely excited about the opportunities of working with those guys and seeing Team USA have an opportunity to really accomplish some special things in September.
Definitely watching. It was the juniors were really exciting, and I'm sure we'll find the same from the cadets.
But for sure.
Yeah, and that's a little bit of an understatement about your recruiting. Things have been just going terrific for you. Congratulations with that.
Thank you. The last couple of years, you know, I think we've really, really tied into some really, really good recruits, and I think they're tough, they're smart, they're performers on the national level, and if, you know, and if history holds true, you know, junior national performers become NCAA performers, and so we're really excited about the crew we brought in this year, and we're equally as excited for the crew we're going to be bringing in next year.
Yep, absolutely. And ironically, I was just listening to Flow Radio before I got on, and they were talking about that, and they were saying that I don't think there has ever been that many Fargo accomplishments in one recruiting class. It's just incredible.
Yeah, I mean, I think my assistant coaches have really tapped into some things, you know, and I think a lot of the kids and their families and people around the country really see what Iowa State's trying to do. You know, we're on the move. I think we've had some national champions and we've had some All-Americans, you know, since I've been here and really are proud of those accomplishments. But you know, we're in a position now where we want to put a 10-man team together that have a chance to pursue what Iowa State is here to pursue, and that's to be national champions, and that's to be consistent contenders. And so I think we've done a good job with bringing those kids in, and it's a matter of getting those kids in the lineup and then seeing where we go from there.
Very good. All right. Tell us how you got started in the sport and who influenced you and guided you most during those emerging years.
Well, like probably like you a little bit. You know, I had an older brother that wrestled and decided just to follow in his footsteps, you know, whether it was football, basketball, or wrestling. You know, I just followed and did what he did. And so, you know, he was competing at an event, and all of a sudden my mom looked at me and said, do you want to try it? And My first exposure to wrestling was in a live competition. I think I finished top three, something like that, in my first wrestling competition. She went out and bought a pair of shorts and, you know, and no t-shirt. I mean, that's back in the old days where you can get away with that. And that's how I was kind of exposed to the sport, but I had great coaching, you know, at the grassroots level, coaches that loved the sport, that shared their knowledge and also took us to, any event. That they could take us to every single weekend. My community was a big-time wrestling community. Lansing Eastern High School produced several state champions as well as state championship teams. The coaches were great coaches and really gave us the foundation to grow from. But I started probably in the sixth grade.
Wow, okay, very good. And it, you know, climbed the ranks from there, two-time state champion, went on to win the Greco title, junior nationals, and away you went to Louisiana State University. You know, tell us a little bit about that transition. You know, I always, you know, looked at that LSU program as kind of an anchor in the South, and, you know, when it went down, it was always, you know, kind of a, you know, top 10-ish kind of program. Tell us about your journey from Michigan to LSU and then how you got to Iowa State.
Well, you know, LSU was a power in wrestling. My 3 years when we were there, I think we were dropped. When we were dropped, we were ranked number 4 in the country. as a team. The 10 members of the team that transferred out, there were some guys that weren't starting at the time, but 10 guys that transferred to Division I schools all became All-Americans at the schools that they transferred to. So it was a very strong program, a very good program. There was only two SEC teams left during my time at LSU, and that was us in Tennessee, and we always thought that Tennessee would drop before us, but that didn't happen. But you know, my thought process going into college was a little bit different than a normal kid these days. You know, a normal kid these days, you know, you're looking for that fit from an academic standpoint first and foremost. And me, when I was coming out of high school, I was just looking for the warmest place I could go and that had a strong wrestling program. And so I narrowed it down to Arizona State and Louisiana State. And Louisiana State had several Michigan athletes on that team. And so that kind of, you know, swayed me to go in that direction. But we had a very strong team, very good team. We were winning our conference title every single year, sending quite a few guys, 10-member team, 10 people on the team would go to Nationals, or 8. So we always were sending a quality group of guys to the NCAA tournament. But one thing that stuck out to me in those days is we'd always lose. I won a duel. I would win in my individual match, but the team would lose to Iowa, and Iowa was dominating the national championships and the Big Tens in those days. And so I was looking at when Louisiana State dropped their program, I was looking at a program that could stand up to Iowa, that could stand toe to toe with them, with a chance to knock them off of off that perch of being NCAA championship. So I was looking at Oklahoma State and Iowa State, and fortunately for me, I chose Iowa State based on some relationships I had formed earlier that summer.
Okay, very good. You know, when you talk about some of those great individuals that were at LSU, if I remember right, didn't you wrestle Bill Dykeman for third and fourth 1 year, and he was a former teammate, isn't that correct?
Well, I didn't wrestle him for third and fourth, but Bill Dykeman was the 158-pound wrestler when I was coming in to LSU. But he transferred out to Oklahoma State when I came in. And so it was his senior year when I was a true freshman. And I competed right away as a true freshman and had the opportunity to wrestle Bill Dykeman in a dual meet between Louisiana State and Oklahoma State. And I was fortunate enough to win that match. And I think everyone on staff at LSU was extremely proud that athlete transferred out, and then I was able to beat him in a head to head. So I think everyone was extremely proud of me at that moment. But I do know Bill real well and consider him a friend.
Yeah, well, I bet so. But again, it just speaks to the program that LSU was at that time. That's amazing. Yep. So I had three brothers that were part of the Iowa State program during your time as a competitor. And I remember them talking about just how hard you worked in preparation for your international success after college. What else influenced your jump from what I would say is good to great as you made your way on the biggest stage that wrestling has to offer?
Well, without a doubt, I mean, that hard work was always a part of who I was and what I was trying to accomplish. And even though I didn't accomplish my NCAA goals, you know, that motivated me to do what I did from an international standpoint. And one thing that I never lost, Pat, was the confidence within myself to be the very best, not only the very best in the country, but the very best in the world. And I really truly believe that regardless of the losses that I suffered and not accomplishing my goal of being the NCAA champion, which was extremely disappointing and definitely devastating, you know, I was able to get back up on the horse and keep moving forward. So I think that's one of the biggest reasons. You know, I think I've accomplished my goals because I had that fire burning in me from not winning at the NCAA level, and I never got over not being the NCAA champion until I won the world championships in 1991. So I think it's all a process. You know, losses. You know, you have to look at losses a couple ways. Either you win or you get better. You never lose when you get better. And so those losses that I suffered in college and even after college, you know, they made me better. And so again, I just looked at the process. I was in a great environment with Cyclone Wrestling Club and Iowa State and the history of Iowa State athletics and their and how much they want to see wrestling succeed at the national and the international level really aided me in my pursuit to be the best in the world.
Yeah, wow, what that great message. And it seems to be a well-worn story of the true champions that have overcome something. It just is inevitable, it seems like, and that is what they point to has made them better. Quite a message.
I mean, even when you look at a guy like Kyle Snyder, you know, Kyvan Gatson pinned him in the NCAA championship. He lost a couple times, you know, to some other guys during that year. You know, he didn't have the perfect freshman year, but he never his confidence never wavered. He still maintained who he was and what he was all about, and his high work ethic and his confidence never really wavered. And then you see the guy now as a world and Olympic champion. So it just goes to show you that it's all a process, and either you win or you get better. And I think all champions have that mentality.
Yeah, it's wow. All right, with the success that you've had both as a competitor and a coach, I'm sure you've been invited to many such events as the KWCA Fall Clinic. We have changed our format a little bit this year to hopefully better accommodate schedules of both attendees and presenters. You'll be presenting 3 90-minute sessions with breakout sessions in between. What can we expect to see in your sessions?
Well, you know, I'll take the lead from you and your staff of what you want to see and what you want to go over. Obviously, I've been around a while that there's not too many things that I can't show or teach or talk about. But I'm a guy that comes from a sound basic skill background. I really believe that there's some things that you have to do in order to compete at every single level. And I think the things that are must do's from a technical standpoint, from a base training standpoint, sticks with you from whether it's grassroots or whether it's high school, whether it's college, or whether it's an international style or the senior level style. And so what I'm going to try to come in and do is start with some basic skills from the must do positions, which starts with, you know, just being able to defend yourself from distance, then controlling tie-ups, setups to attacks, counter offense, and getting off the bottom. You know, those are some must do things that you need to incorporate into your game to be successful. I know for a fact that if you can't be taken down, you can't be rolled, you can't be beat. And so, you know, I always try to maintain that philosophy. And then once those skills are grasped, I will try to take the group of coaches or athletes, you know, to that next level of skills, because I do think it's a natural progression to get up to really elite level skills being taught and being shown.
All right, very good. We're looking forward to it. So Kansas has produced several D1 contenders over the years, but is not generally considered among the top-tier states for producing talent at that level. What advice would you give to our coaches and administrators to help raise the level of wrestling in Kansas?
Well, you know, I think you got some great history. I mean, I think if you look at some of the wrestlers, and I'm just coming off the top of my head real quick, but Eric Aiken was someone that came out of Kansas. I think you have quite a few other guys that have had great results out of Kansas. You continue to see them. And Melvin Douglas, another guy that comes to mind that had not only national success but international success, becoming a world champion, a 2-time Olympian. And so, you know, Kansas historically has produced some very, very good wrestlers. And I don't think not just for Kansas but for states in general is to, you know, to have a system, to have a philosophy that carries over from grassroots to middle school, to high school, to junior high, to high school, to college, that your students should be able to demonstrate and execute certain skills that are must-win positions in order to move on to that next level. I know the best states in the country that have wrestling in the state, and they're considered one of the better states in the country. They have several wrestlers that have decided that they're going to stay at home or return home to be high school coaches or junior high coaches, which allows a higher level of technical skills and training that will help the whole state grow and get better. So I think it's not rocket science. It's a matter of good sound coaching and tough smart kids, and then to keep them on track and make sure that it's always fun for them, and then continue to expose them. You know, I've been to several camps and clinics, and I come to town And for some reason, the coach from across town, because he has a issue with the coach, or you know, might be an ego thing that they won't bring their kids to the clinic or bring their kids to the camp. And my thing is as a coach, my job is to expose my athlete to as many champions as possible, to as many skills, to as many techniques and tactics as I possibly can to help their overall growth. And so, you know, so those are just some things off the top of my head that I would consider as I was trying to, you know, evolve or grow or get better as a coach and improve the skill level of our athletes.
All right, very good. Great advice. Helen Maroulis, Kyle Snyder came back from Rio with golds, and Jaden Cox captured a bronze. Being a gold medalist yourself, and with your strong ties to the U.S. freestyle program, you have a unique perspective. What are some of your big takeaways from Rio?
Well, I just think that, you know, the people that were looking to score points, that had those basic skills I referred to, and at that level, it's the ability to go get a takedown when you need to and when you want to, and the ability to defend a takedown when you have to. I think you've seen that both out of Helen and you've seen that out of Kyle. Jaden as well. I don't think Jaden gave up one single takedown, and I think that was one of the biggest reasons for him to win that bronze medal. You know, he also had the ability to go score takedowns, get to legs, and create scoring positions. And so, you know, I'm you know, I know Jordan was a little bit of a disappointment, but you know, sometimes you're not on your best that one day out of 4 years, and that seems to be, you know, what happened to him. But obviously we could have had a better team performance, but I'm really encouraged by Jordan continuing for the next 4 years. So we know we're locked in with a guy that can get it done, that has a chance to win a gold medal every time, and it doesn't matter what the draw is. You look at a guy like Kyle Snyder and Jaden Cox, who are, you know, up-and-coming young studs, that it doesn't matter what the draw is. They should be in the hunt to get a medal. If somebody beats them in those early rounds, I would assume that the person that beat them will advance to a final, therefore pulling them to a repercharge. And so I'm encouraged. You know, you look at a guy, the guy out, Frank, from, you know, out from the East Coast there, you know, just his improvement and his youth and his ability to defend and go get takedowns, put him in the hunt to actually get a medal. So I'm encouraged with the youth of our male freestyle team. I think, you know, Bill Zadek is hitting that national coaching position at the right time. You know, greatness for Team USA comes in eras, and I think this is one of those eras that we're going to see some really fine results out of Team USA.
All right, very, very good. Yeah, I'd agree with those observations for sure. I detailed out in the intro that you have three All-Americans coming back and a dynamic group of recruits coming in addition to your 2017 verbals. What can fans expect from the Cyclones this season and in the near future?
Well, obviously, you know, in the near future, you know, we're expecting to be in the hunt. I mean, with the kids that we've put on our roster over the last two recruiting seasons, you know, we feel like, you know, if you're a Fargo national champion or All-American, that you're going to be an NCAA national champion or All-American. And so you put enough of those guys on top of each other, you got kids that's going to score points in the NCAA championship and get you the number of All-American and national champions that you need in order to give yourself a chance to win, at that NCAA championship. But I'm not so much looking forward to the future as I'm excited about today, excited about tomorrow, excited about this year. Returning the three All-Americans between Leland Weatherspoon, Pat Downey, and Earl Hall, I think those are three guys, if they stay healthy and they stick to the plan, they can contend for national championships. If those three guys contend for a national championship, that puts us deep in that top half of the top 10 of the NCAA championship, but they have to have their tournament. And then we're looking for our other younger guys, or guys that have been qualifiers, like the Gabe Marinos and the Carl Larsons, for them to do their part for team success, and they have the ability, and they have the ability, and they've seen what it feels like, and they know what it's like to compete at the highest level at the NCAA championship. So I'm not stuck on just saying the future's now, and as far as a year, two, three, 4 years from now, I think our future is here now. For our guys to really step up and wrestle the way they're capable of wrestling. And then we're hoping our younger guys, like the Marcus Harringtons at 197s, and the Gabe Marinos and the Ronaldo Spencers and the Logan Breitenbachs and the Colson de Blasies that they recognize that the time is now. Let's step up and accomplish some great things and reach our true potential.
That's right. Exciting things and aims. By the way, speaking of recruits, I was listening to a PA wrestling podcast over the weekend, and they thought that Nate Carr might have been the last PA recruit for Iowa State, and I think it's Kevin Darkus. I think he's got Carr by a year or two. Whatever the answer, tapping into the Keystone State is a big deal for you.
For sure. I mean, this kid that we just that just committed to our program. I mean, he's a world champion. He's an animal. His expectations for success. In the classroom as well as on the national scene, and then his international aspirations really attracted us to him. And so with PA being a consistent performer at the NCAA championships, I think they outdistance every single state by quite a bit with All-Americans and national champions that they produce every single year. That's a state that we have to be in order to do the things that we want to accomplish. So to get him in here, and I think he's my first PA recruit that I've gotten into Iowa State. That bodes well for our future and going back into the state and trying to, you know, work for some of those kids and get them out of the state. There's so many options in the state of Pennsylvania for those kids. And so to go in there and get one of them out, you know, it says a lot about what my coaching staff has been able to do in their communication with these young kids.
All right, very good. Well, thank you for your time. It's really been an honor to visit with you. We look forward to seeing you in Salina on October 8th.
Sounds good, Pat. We look forward to seeing you as well.
We also want to congratulate Coach Jackson and the Cyclones for the hire of Dana Vogt as Director of Wrestling Operations. He did a great job at Concordia College in Nebraska as head coach of the NAIA institution, and I'm sure he will do the same for the Cyclones. Lots of good news coming out of Ames, Iowa for the wrestling program. Looking forward to seeing you in Salina at the 2016 KWCA Coaches Clinic on October 8th. Please also consider taking part in the NWCA Leadership Academy, which is on Friday the 7th at the same location. Information was sent out via snail mail just today, so look for it in your school mailbox. Until next time, this has been Patrick Kelly with the KWCA Podcast. Thanks for listening.